Have you played with that?
Yes, I have. It works. I copied, you know, a link in my macOS Sierra, and I pasted it in my iPad, and it just worked, you know, and it just it's, and then the other way around also, as well. So
that's surprising.
Yeah, I know. I was surprised too. My daughter was here.
Oh yeah, I didn't notice.
She was driving a bus, and the pigeon was driving it. So
that's
yeah. Don't read books, you know. Forget about it, you know. Listen to our podcast. We are smart, and and just don't read, you know, don't. I mean, and you know, you're right. I mean, audio is, you know, it doesn't count.
Oh, so I quit the gym 2 months ago.
Huh. And you've been hiding this from me for 2 months now. You don't love me anymore.
Hey, Michael.
Hi, Radek. What's up?
I'm good. I think we should talk about more books. I mean, it's 54th episode? We've been doing it for more than a year. It's still amazing to me.
Yeah, our The Podcast thing, you know, morphed from an idea, from something we wanted to do maybe out of interest in gadgets and everything, now into a like full-fledged podcast that runs for a year, and we talk about books recently a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So for new listeners, we talk about a lot of things, which is why we're called The Podcast. We talk about technology and rockets and productivity and, you know, software development, which is what we're doing you know, by day, recently we talk a lot about books because books are awesome.
Yeah, and especially, you know, when you are in productivity space like we are, you get this productivity bug, and which is not only about productivity but also personal development or self-development. And we noticed that when you listen to books, you can, you know, kill two birds with one stone, because you can actually do something and then read something in the same time. Like, for example, you can go on a run and you know, jog, and then listen to a great book. And the author usually speaks to your ear. So it's really good.
Yeah, so it's interesting what you did there. You, like me, it became like so obvious to you that books mean audiobooks that you forgot to even mention you mean audiobooks. It's just like reading books means listening to an audiobook for me now. It's just that's what it means.
Yeah, I mean, whenever somebody gives me a physical copy of a book, or I'm tempted to download a book from Kindle, like, you know, or iBooks, I breathe slowly, and then I'm like, no, let's see if we can do audio version, because if it's a physical book, I'm certainly not going to read it. So yeah, let's go get the audio.
No, but that's quite interesting how my knowledge and the things I learn and the areas where I grow are kind of determined by availability of audio versions of books on audible.com.
Yeah, that's
and actually like I noticed a few weeks ago, like, this is really strange, I added a bunch of books to my wish list as just to my backlog, and a few of them are now like, hey, this is unavailable in your country, and I'm like, what, that's strange. Have you seen that?
No, but it might be because I have a US account on Audible.
Well, that's weird. I guess maybe it happened because I changed my credit card to a US dollar credit account, but it's still a Polish card, so like nothing really changed. Well, whatever. So I wanted to discuss a few ideas related to books in general. And like I noticed when I sometimes talk about books on Twitter, and I'm like, hey, I just, you know, finished my 12th or 15th book this year, whatever, you know, and not just to brag, but to, you know, kind of convey like, hey, people, like, again and again, like, look, this is how amazing audiobooks are, like, this is what they make possible, right? And I also tend to link to notes to the books I read on my site and whatnot. And so, and one criticism that I saw is that, you know, when I said, okay, I read this many books this year already, someone asked, and someone said, like, why, it doesn't matter, why are you listening to books? It's, you know, reading books is this ritual where when you, like, sit down with a physical book and you read it, and like, So what did, that you read this many books if you won't get it as much out of it if it's audio, and like in general, like he suggested that it's this quantity versus quality dichotomy, and that there is such a thing as reading too many books, and I don't know, what's your take on this?
Okay, so if I have a choice between listening to a book while I'm running, or while I'm walking or doing something like around the house, and I mean something that's actually mindless, so I can actually really focus on just getting the content from the book, or I would have to dedicate additional time just to sit down and read, then and with audio I get, I don't know, let's say 60% of the comprehension, and then with you know physical reading I would get 80% of the comprehension, then it's a good trade-off. I'm totally fine with that, because what we already discussed, that you know the books are long, so it's like if you read a book, it's like, I mean, read a book, listen to a book, it's 8 to 10 hours of content, usually related to the same topic. So even if you don't catch the idea at the very beginning, you know, it's the author's job to actually convey the idea. So in the end, you actually sold on the idea. And for me, you know, the trade-off was very simple. You know, and we talked about it in the previous show. I went from 2 books a year to 30. So even if they are at 60% instead of 80%, I'm great, you know? I mean, you know, I get lots of new ideas. I get lots of new content. I get lots of new insights that I would never have. And if you think that you get the same insights by reading a short tweet or an article on Medium, then you're mistaken, because your mind has to be actually prepared to get an idea. And we discussed it, you know, at length in the previous episodes. I think people at this point in time are used to short content. You know, short books. No, I mean, I'm sorry, not short books. Short articles. And they think that when they read an article on Medium, when they read an article somewhere else on somebody's blog, it's fine. But actually, books are written for a reason. And books are like this curated version of a bigger thing, you know? And you cannot convey the bigger thing in just one article. We were talking about it, you know, the how to get fat can be summarized in one sentence, no problem, but it's not that easy. And even if you read an article on this, you wouldn't be convinced. So that's why I think reading books makes total sense. Reading books physically, making a ritual out of it, if somebody likes it, good for them. I don't get the ritual. I'm not a like happy reader. I prefer consuming the content in an audio version. And for me, being able to jog and listen to an audiobook, it's like living life twice at the same time, because I do something for my body and something for my mind right at the same time. I love it.
Right. And I feel the same way, and we discussed this already. And to be honest, I don't believe in this thing that, oh, you get, you know, 60% versus 80% of the comprehension with audiobook versus physical book. I just don't believe it. That's not my experience at all. I feel like I'm getting, you know, more distracted when I try to read for long periods of time than when I listen. And I'm sure there's a part of it is personality. Perhaps some people are better at absorbing information in visual form versus audio. That's very possible. I also think that it's partly about being used to audiobooks, because I can definitely see that at the beginning when I listen to podcasts. When I started listening to podcasts, I would sometimes find it hard to keep focused. With time, it just, you grow used to it that, hey, like you're listening to something and you pay attention to it. And also you get proper headphones with which you can listen to stuff while you're, you know, next to, you know, the street, and you don't care. You're not distracted by it, and you don't have to, you know, damage your ears trying to trying to be louder than the cars. But so yeah, I don't believe that reading that audiobooks give you less information than paper, unless it's like a highly technical book or something. Furthermore, I think it's important to convey that conciseness is not always a good thing, right? With books, if you're trying to get a grasp on an idea, and it's not like a technical thing, or it's just like a non-fiction book about like most topics that you'd read about, right? If you're going to get a good grasp on it, you can't compress it to an article. It just doesn't work, right? Even if you can compress the most important stuff, it won't actually change you. It won't actually influence you. You won't remember it unless you study it over and over and over again. A book is a better medium for it. But I wanted to get back to the core question, which is there such a thing as reading too many books?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm still, you know, it's not like I can read, you know, a book a day or something, you know, I'm not reading that, but I don't think it is, you know, you need time to digest and everything, you know, and for me, like the pace of reading a book a week, a book every 2 weeks is fine. It's a fine pace. And again, I get to distribute, you know, the time that I'm reading actually. So it's not like at one, you know, slop of time. Although some books are really that good that you want to, like, you know, just listen to them as soon as possible. But I don't think so. I think when you read so many books, I mean, we talked about it, that you get insights, you know, from different authors, insights from different perspectives, and you get to build your own ideas and your own insights, which is really great. And you wouldn't have that if you wouldn't read. And there was a quote in one of the books, I don't remember which one, that there is a reason why, you know, all the successful people have big libraries of books because they read a lot, because they get lots of ideas and they get lots of, I mean, for example, I don't read fiction because fiction, I mean, sometimes, but very, very rarely, because I get different kind of, entertainment, but I read nonfiction, and I think this is my main way of learning. And I like learning. So, I don't think you can.
Yeah, I think that that's an important thing to stress, that when you talk about when we talk about books, we almost always mean nonfiction books, because guess what? The real world is way too interesting to waste time reading fiction books. And obviously, if you enjoy it, if that's a form of entertainment you enjoy, then fine, go ahead. And perhaps you enjoy it more reading as a ritual with paper, and that's fine too. But when we talk about books, what we mean is there is so much interesting stuff about the real world, and there's so much to learn about it. There's so much to understand and build your own insights on, and kind of build your understanding so you can work with it and you can understand it and predict it and build on top of it, right? You need to learn a lot. And so we want to read a lot of books, and like that's the key thing. Like even if there is such a thing as reading too many books, 30 books a year is not it. It's like way more than an average person. But a book every 2 weeks, every 12 days to be precise, that's 12 days per book. You have 12 days to read it and process it and take notes if you have to and like think about it. That's plenty of time.
Yeah, totally. And another thing is that we are pretty picky about our books, so we don't read anything that comes our way, because actually, you know, we spend money on each book because we buy them from Audible. So it's not like, you know, we get them for free or, you know, pirated or whatever. No, we get them from Audible. So every book, there is a credit from Audible. And so we are pretty picky about it, and which means that we try to choose the best books we can get. And these books, because they're by very good authors, usually have very interesting stories that try to illustrate, you know, the subject matter. So, as you said, these stories that they quote are very often very interesting. So, even more interesting, as you said, than fiction. So we get to really get great stories within these books. And and if you can, you know, Radek, tell me more how you choose the books. I mean, what's your criteria? Because I know that you're also very picky about which books you read.
Right. You're right. I am picky. I have to be picky because we live in a world of abundance. There's way more to read than you could possibly do in a lifetime, right? So you obviously have to pick. And it's also a super, super, super important idea that we keep getting back to. So I'll punt you in the show notes to the zero-sum game episode, because that's an example of a zero-sum game, right? If I can, if I have the capacity to read or listen to, say, 30 books a year, well, it's a zero-sum game, right? If I pick one book, it means I won't read another one. So I want to get the best value out of my reading. And so I try to choose. And where do I find books? Oftentimes I get kind of links from a book to a book, right? When I reading begets more reading. You know, for example, when I read Deep Work, it mentioned like an interesting insight that was like quoted to be from Four Disciplines of Execution. So I read Four Disciplines of Execution, right? Or sometimes I read a book and I think it's very interesting, so I'll see other books from the author. Amazon often has like good suggestions, you know, based on your, purchasing history or the books you're looking at. It can often point you to interesting books, and then you can view it and see what other people think, and this way you can filter out some interesting books. And also Amazon has, I have to find it and put a link in the show notes, but Amazon has this list that's updated every month, where their editors pick like a best book every month, I think, right? And then you have, for every category, you have like a book they deem to be like most interesting, say nonfiction book or business book or that kind of book this month, and there's plenty to pick there. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very similar. So I also use recommendations, you know, bestseller lists. So for example, on Audible, when I was starting on Audible, I was mainly looking at bestseller list of nonfiction. I was looking what people were reading, and then when I chose a few books, I would put them to my wish list, and then go through, for example, the comments and the ratings. So comments are very useful, especially this way. I should be adding comments actually as a reader to Audible to contribute. Actually, I feel bad about it that I'm not doing it, because they are really useful. Very often, through the comments, you learn that, for example, the book is actually seems nice, but actually is not, or the other way around. It seems it's like a few people posted it's awful, but when there is a comment that says, okay, it's awful if you're that, but if you're this kind of guy, you will like that. And then I'm like, huh, I'm the other kind of guy. I'm going to check the book out. So so they're really useful for me as well. And of course, social recommendations, like from you, like when we are here discussing, and also on Twitter and from other friends. Right now, it's the best moment to actually read the books, because you get all these recommendations, you get all these reviews and stars and the Amazon, you know, Audible smart recommendations engine. So it's really easy to choose the kind of books that you would like. And if you have problems starting, you can go to your link and my link of the books that we've read with notes, so you can get some inspiration there. But it's actually pretty, pretty easy now. And as you said, there are very good, you know, authors who are repeating themselves. I mean, repeating different books. Like, for example, Charles Duhigg, I think I'm saying this right, has just written Smarter, Faster, Better, which is a new book. And he wrote the Power of Habit, which was great. And now I'm reading his book, Smarter, Faster, Better, and I really like it. I'm in the middle of it. So, So also this thing, and there are a few authors like, you know, Seth Godin and others who have written several books, and I keep reading them. So it's always a great recommendation there.
Yeah. So you mentioned social recommendations, and yeah, we recommend a lot of books on this show. But also a thing I mentioned many times, I have like if you go to radix.io/books, you'll see like a list of books I've been reading recently, and like a short description or opinion and the notes I take to many of the books, right? And you also have a list like that, and I will put a link in the show notes. And I also found some interesting books through other people's lists.
Yeah.
So I like when people share their collections. For example, I know I got a few titles from Orta, a friend of the mm-hmm. show, who once posted like a long screenshot of his whole Audible library. I'll try to pull the link to that. But there were interesting things there, right? And again, like once you get a few of those, you'll get more and more through, you know, mentions of other books or recommendations and stuff. And speaking of picking books, you know, ratings, like star ratings, are often not very useful. Like
oh, yeah.
a book that's, you know, 4.5 stars on Amazon is not necessarily going to be better than a book that's, you know, 4 or 3.5 or 5. It can often be quite meaningless, and most comments are not very useful either. But sometimes there are comments which give some nuance, like you can understand why you would like or dislike this book, and that helps in choosing, or at least get some insight whether or not this has a high chance of actually adding to your knowledge, or is it like stuff you already know and won't get much out of it. And also one thing I would note is on Audible, there's like there's separate ratings like overall, story and narration, right? Because
yeah.
on Audible, like it's an audiobook, so you have a narrator. And what I noticed is that a lot of people would rate the narrators as like really bad and boring. Even in books I've read and were just fine. So just something to note. I think a lot of people commenting this way on Audible, they might have been coming from like fiction audiobooks, which tend to be like much more interesting audio-wise, and maybe that gives them the impression of like non-fiction audiobooks, which don't have, you know, characters and too much emotion generally. That those are boring, but they rarely are. Like in my experience, like I had maybe 2 audiobooks which were difficult to listen to, but most of them are just fine, and the narrators on Audible tend to be good.
I mean, this is you know where we get to this whole audiophile, you know, area, because there are people who are just spoiled and want to have really great narrator, great, as you said, you know, great the whole thing. You know, for example, The Martian, the fiction book that actually I did read on Audible, made by a friend of mine. The narrator is fantastic, and the whole thing is fantastically produced. So it's really a great book. But usually I don't really care about narrator. I mean, it's very hard for me to spoil me a book because narrator would be really bad.
Yeah, it would have to be pretty bad that me or you yeah. would like really get.
And yeah. even though, for example. So I'm more forgiving because I'm not Native American. I'm English is not my mother tongue, so my accent is Polish American to some degree. So what happens is that, for example, I prefer to have authors read it. You know, even if the authors are not really fantastic readers, just the fact usually when the author is reading, they just convey the message better. You know, they are just more, I don't know, into the message. And the sheer fact of the author reading to you personally, I just like it.
Yeah, it's nice. Okay, so I wanted to look back to this notion of reading too many books, and something you said before the show, which is kind of related to what we talked about last week with originals, which is the book originals, talking in the context of, you know, generating creative ideas, made this interesting observation that quality versus quantity is a false dichotomy, right? Because, you know, creators tend to make their best work when they make a lot of work. And I feel like this is, I feel the same way with my reading. Like, it's like you can tell yourself and have this excuse, this rationalization that, oh, I can't listen to that many books because then like it will spoil it, like I'll forget everything, like it won't matter. But my experience is that that's complete BS. That does not happen, right? Maybe at, I don't know, 50, 100 books a year that would happen, which if you manage that. Which, yeah, all right, good luck.
Get a life.
But at 30 books a year, at a book every 12 days, this does not happen. And it's quite the contrary. Because when you read this many books, it goes back to this nature of knowledge, right? When you read a lot of books, you'll have books which are on vaguely the same topic, but they show different points of view, different ideas, different ways of describing things from different authors. You'll have contradictory books. You'll have books that complement each other and add new ones, right? And this is where you really learn, because you read one book and you think, oh, I'm smarter now. I know everything about this topic. But then you read another book, and like the more you know, the more you feel like, I don't know anything, right? But you do know more and more, because you see where the contradictions are, where the nuance is that you only notice because you read all of those books, right? You understand more because you have different ways of looking at the same thing, and you have like more kind of anchors in your brain to like remember different ideas and notions, right? You can see which things are like pretty solid and agreed upon, and which things are controversial, or which things are, you know, maybe this was just a wacky idea of this author, but like the rest of it is good because I see this in other places, right? And so like what I see is that the more books I read, like the more insights I get, right? Because I notice those connections between books, and you don't get that when you read, you know, two books a year. But when you read 30 books a year, you kind of see how sometimes like really, really separate, like unrelated books feed into your knowledge, and how they have connections and like similar ideas which can help you like have an insight about some different thing. I see that more and more as I'm reading more and more. So like I want to really stress that, because you know, some people will seem to be like, for example, I mentioned recently to my father that, oh, I read now 17 books this year, and we're at midpoint, and he was like, you mean listen to? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, well, that doesn't matter, right? And that's like strange. Like I see that all the time when I talk about audiobooks and like reading a lot on Twitter. Like people have all sorts of like really bizarre rationalizations to prove to me and themselves that it doesn't make sense or to listen to audio or to read to or listen to this many books. Like there must be some trick. Like there must be something wrong with it.
Yeah.
And that's why I keep talking about it, because it's like, no, it really works. It's really worth it. And it's just a matter of approach. If you do audiobooks, you can read a lot, and when you read a lot, you get smarter.
No, I mean, no. Let's just have people believe what they want to believe. I mean, no, don't read books. You know, forget about it. You know, listen to our podcast. We are smart, and just don't read. You know, don't. I mean, and you know, you're right. I mean, audio is, you know, it doesn't count. You know, because there is no, like, where's the armchair here? Where's the fireplace? You know, where's the romance? You know, where's the environment? You know, that you can absorb, and of course, yes. When you read a book that fast, I mean, you cannot study it, you know? It's like you didn't get all the nuance, you know? And you should get all the nuance. You should analyze every dot and every sentence in this book, you know? And you are not doing that, Radek. So you're doing a poor job. You're just, you know, skimming through a book. And
I'm a fraud.
And me, I'm listening books at twice the speed. I'm surely not getting anything, really. I'm just, you know, letting the book pass by me, you know? So we are mistaken. We are correctly wrong. I mean, let them believe that, you know. Let them have it, and just let's just keep listening our way. I'm not going to compete with anyone, you know. I know for a fact I get smarter thanks to the books, thanks to these books, and there is a reason why I'm getting them, and it's not because I have stock in Audible or Amazon. I don't. So so I don't, you know, get any money from spending money there. So
yeah, I see this all the time, like exactly what you just said. People have this romantic idea, like a book being a ritual, right? It's this thing that you like have to have ordered beautifully from your hipster bookstore in hardcover, and like sit by the fireplace in this comfy armchair in the middle of winter with a mug of hot chocolate in your arm.
Oh, yeah.
And just skim through it, right? And just read it and absorb every word
thoroughly. Yeah.
And that's just like,
and let them have it.
I see that, right? I've done that, and it's great. But it's like, that's it. Like, you don't do that with anything else in your life, right? You can have your once a year, this is an amazing, this is the best book I'll read this year. This is going to be amazing, and I'll just bask in it, you know, by the fireplace. That's fine, do it. But again, if you want to learn a lot, you have to read a lot, and if you want to read a lot, just drop this nonsense notion that it has to be this beautiful ritual. It's functional. It's a medium of exchange of knowledge.
And I think there is another upside that we haven't mentioned, is that by reading books, in this world now of tweets of 140 characters and, you know, short blog posts, thanks to the fact that we are actually reading the books, I think we still, you know, are, even though it's listening to, even though it's listening in chunks, you know, through, you know, 12 days on average, as you said, I think thanks to the fact we still are capable actually of getting like of consuming a large quantity of a content about one topic, you know, and analyze it, it's a good ability actually to do that, because if we don't, then we can get this illusion that we've learned something from a tweet, you know, and we usually didn't.
Mm.
That's why I would still encourage people to actually reading, you know, the content, because there is a reason why the author actually took lots of his time to produce this and to prepare it and to reduce and to get these insights from lots of sources and put them in one coherent piece.
Mm. That's actually a really good insight. This again, like, connections. This feeds back to the notion of deep work, which, again, put the link in the show notes, we talked about it. Like, we live in this world where we're just so consumed by shallow everything, shallow interruptions, like this few second bursts of activities and notifications and tweets and everything. And there's value in all of it, but we become unable to focus on things for long periods of time, and that's destructive if you want to like do anything, if you're trying to like achieve anything, produce anything of value, you have to be able to actually focus on things for long periods of time. And people are getting worse and worse at it with every generation.
Yeah.
Right? And so, yeah, that's actually really good.
So let's then, you know, discuss some of the books that we are going to read and in the future, or we have on our pipeline, or we have just read, and we might discuss in the future versions of the podcast.
Right. So we're originally going to discuss a few more ideas from originals, but running out of time. But I'll just mention that I recently finished How to Fly a Horse, which was pretty good, and I think you're reading that also.
Yeah,
so
I have it on my
we'll be probably discussing it soon. So if any of the listeners like want some homework and like be with us in the discussion, then definitely give How to Fly a Horse a read or a listen.
Yeah, I just got a new book by David Burkus called Under New Management. I read his article on banning email, and which is totally aligned with what we do in Nosby. We don't send emails to each other. We create tasks for each other, or use Slack to communicate. So his book Under New Management is about all these radical management, you know, moves or radical management ideas, which is great because we're working on the book called No Office, which is also radical. So something I'm looking forward to reading and seeing which of the ideas from this book I'm going to keep and think about. And I'm also in the middle of Smarter, Faster, Better, as I mentioned, by Charles Duhigg. So I'm looking forward to finishing this one.
I'm also in the middle of Naked Money, which is quite interesting. I don't think we'll actually discuss it because it's like we talk about a lot of things, but I don't think that's one that would be like very interesting to talk about. But it's an interesting lesson, like to kind of get a better understanding of mechanics, of macroeconomic mechanics, and how money actually works. You know, how does it happen? How can it be controlled to keep a check on an economy and slow it down or speed it up to keep prices constant and whatnot? Like there's interesting things to talk about, like at all things which tend to be politicized, you know, like, oh, let's get back to the gold standard, or, you know, the Fed is this and that. You know, and most people like obviously don't have no idea what they're talking about. And if you want to know what you're talking about, I think Naked Money, you know, can give you a better understanding of the topic. So
yeah, and actually, on talking about the topic of the money, I think we mentioned sometime in one of the episodes about Happy Money. It was a book I read a few months back. Happy Money actually is a very cool book about how money can make you happy, and I really liked it because it's not always what we think it is. So it's not like we buy something really expensive and we'll be instantly happy. So it's about, you know, buying experiences, all these things. So it's a very short and good read, and kind of reminds you why we are earning money and how should we spend it actually to make ourselves happier. So totally recommend it.
All right, that's really good. So we're running out of time, but one thing I really wanted to do with you, Michael, half a year ago, we talked about our plans for 2016.
Right.
And yes, we'll put the link in the show notes because we also like discussed some ideas on how to actually do it right. But anyway, we're 6 months in. We're at year's midpoint. And I think it would be good to get back to the discussion and see how we've progressed, what we've accomplished, like what we failed at in regards to our plans and outside of our plans, and what's coming in the next half year.
Yeah, so it's the idea of quarterly retreat by Greg McKeown. He said about it, I think, on podcast with Michael Hyatt.
That's correct.
Yeah, so I think it's a fantastic way to actually analyze, you know, what you've done over the last 90 days and what you want to achieve in the next one. And as far as I'm concerned, there are things I'm happy about, but there are things I'm not happy about and are actually failed at. So so do you want some, you know, concrete examples here? Should I?
Sure.
Some confession here? All right. So one of the confessions is that I'm really happy about my morning and evening ritual. I think I nailed it, and I think it's really cool. I have practically every day written something in my journal, which is great. Usually I don't write anything on the weekends. I just skip on my morning ritual on the weekends, but on the weekdays I'm there and I love it. This is great. Also my fitness and my weight, as you know, I've been struggling to keep my weight in check, but I think it's great now. It's about around 77 kilograms, which is good on average, and I did two triathlons, so I'm really in a good shape now. So that's great. But for example, on the business side, we launched Nosby Business, and we discussed it that I want to, you know, double down on that. And Nosby Business is taking off slower than I expected, mostly because we got some really, you know, big customers, and with them, integration and, you know, implementation takes longer. And I'm not used to that. You know, I'm used to people just signing up for Nosby, paying and just using it. And now with businesses, we have to talk to them, we have to integrate with them, we have to, we have to do more to actually make them use it. And it's fine because, you know, they want to convince, like, also inside their companies to use Nosby. So I'm not used to that. And I think this process has to be, you know, improved upon, and I would like to focus on that in the next 3 months to actually, you know, improve this, make it better. And with that, for example, Teach Not Be Better, which we tried already with webinars, and the webinars were great. And I feel like for me, presenting to a few hundred people at once live was stressful, but it was good. So yeah, some things were great, some things not so great. Still lots of room to improve. And there's one thing that I'll mention later that I just want to radically improve.
All right. So for me, I'm really happy in general about the last half a year. It's been a pretty awesome half a year. And I've managed to accomplish and learn and you know, see more things than I thought I would. Right? I set out some realistic in theory but still ambitious goals, and like when you try to plan things and make goals, things that seem realistic always tend to end up being in hindsight it's like, oh wait, there's no way to actually achieve this, right? And so far, like most things I've planned went pretty well. So one of the goals was to kind of get in shape. And I, you know, at the beginning of the year, I was at 77 kilograms. And I started losing weight like a few months earlier. And I tended to be above 80, like at 83, 85 for most of my, my adult life. And now I'm like between 70 and 71 kilograms. And for the last 3 months, that's been stable. I achieved the goal and I've kept the goal and it's under control. And for the first time, like, first of all, I've never been 70 kilograms, only when I was, you know, little. And second of all, even when I once like dipped into like sub 80 area, it wasn't sustainable. It somehow happened, but there was just no way to sustain it. And for the first time, I feel like, okay, I now get it. I read up on the topic. I educated myself. I changed some of my habits in what I eat and how I eat and whatnot. And now it's easy. Like, I don't have to do anything. It just works. And that's amazing. That's the point, right? That you don't only achieve the goal, but it's not just a goal. Like, this one is a process, right? To, like, stay at this 70, 71 kilogram weight. And so far, this is really working. So that's great. I signed up for the gym just before the year started, I think. And I wanted to like stick to this routine to like have 3 workouts a week, maybe gym, maybe running, whatever, but just like, you know, stay relatively active physically. And that's been going well for some time. But then I quit the gym for various reasons. I'm not sure if I told you.
No, you didn't.
Oh, so I quit the gym 2 months ago.
Huh. And you've been hiding this from me for 2 months now. You don't love me anymore.
Oh, sorry, boss. And yeah, last month has been really bad because of all the travel. Like I've literally, like 2 days ago, I've been on a run for the first time in a month. There's been like no workouts for a month. That's really bad. But still, like, I did sign up for the gym. I did go on a workout 3 times a week for months. And I did already beat my running record, which is now 12 kilometers. So, you know, that's still not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know you decided not to go to a gym anymore. But now it's summer, actually. So now in the summer, you can actually do other things than just going to the gym. So...
Yeah.
So I hope that you will just pick up running, because I'm actually going out for a run after we've recorded this. So I hope to get this done. I think, you know, it's fantastic that you're keeping the weight. And, you know, as I said, I lost my weight 2 years ago and I'm still keeping it at the same level, which is fantastic. And I can't imagine, you know, going back to my previous weight. So I hope that you'll stay coherent and stay strong here. So it's really great. Really, I'm proud of you, man.
Yeah. Another goal has been to read 30 books this year. which is again once every 12 days. And so far, I've read 17 books and I'm reading 18th at the moment. So I'm slightly ahead of schedule, which is really surprising because when I set out to do it, I actually framed the goal as 26 to 30, and the 30 was like optimistic, but probably not realistic. So it was more like 26, which is once every 2 weeks. And that turned out not to be a problem at all. Like, I would not be surprised if I do over 30 this year. And so that's another thing which was a surprise, that I last year I did 19, and in previous years I didn't even get close, like not even, right? Like less than 10 a year, probably less than 5. I don't even remember. I did not read that much because I tried to read paper, which did not work very well, right? And now I can see that, like with my weight, it's now a process. It's not a really hard thing to achieve. It's now a habit that turned out to be easy with the right approach. And so I think it will be sustainable, and I'll read not 30 books this year, but I'll read 30 books every year. And think of the long-term impact of that, right?
Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, and you can tell from my Audible queue and Audible, you know, a collection, that once you start reading so much, you just don't stop. It's just a part of you.
Yeah, that's true. I did fail so far at a few things. So I wanted to, you know, publish maybe 4 or 5 good blog posts this year on my blog. And so far I've published 0. And I just, like, I wanted to become better at, you know, my side projects, and kind of learn to take advantage of my free Mondays better. I spent it on a blog, on other side projects, on deliberate practice, on, you know, on learning like hard programming stuff, just like really studying certain like interesting stuff. And I did little progress on that. There was always some reason, some excuse. And similarly, I wanted to get better at my morning routine, get better actually, you know, waking up consistently and actually, you know, using my time before work and go to sleep at consistent time. And I also failed at that so far. So those are things I want to try to work on in the second half of the year.
Yeah, for me, I want to, as far as my blogging is concerned, I also want to change things, shake things up, the way it's now, it's not working for me. And I want to just do it differently. I have a few ideas. And there is this famous quote that only a crazy person thinks that they can achieve better results doing the same thing over and over. So I want to try something different, and try a different approach to blogging and to writing, because I enjoy it a lot, but I just want to be more deliberate and with that, and we'll see how this goes. So my next 3 months projects might go a little bit sideways, because I have a small project coming in around 2 weeks. So my third baby girl is going to be born. So
2 weeks.
This might, you know, change a little bit dynamic here. We'll see about that. But yeah, but this is something new.
Oh man.
So we'll see how you know, when she's born, how she is. You know, I'll be helping my wife a lot, and I'll be part of that. So so this will also, you know, have a big impact on my life, which is great, because I always wanted to have 3 kids, and I'm gonna have 3 daughters, and the 2 I have already are just fantastic. So
good luck.